Welcome to season four of our podcast, The End of the Road. Brought to you by the Wrangell Mountain Center and supporters in Alaska and around the globe. We thank you. I'm your host, Sabrina Simon, Director of Operations for the Wrangell Mountain Center.
And I'm John Erdman, Executive Director of the Wrangell Mountain Center. We are a nonprofit organization dedicated to connecting people with wildlands through art, science, and education in Alaska.
I invite you on a journey through our series featuring hand-picked stories and poems told by McCarthy locals and visitors throughout our 2023 summer programming, all expressing our unique experience of this thing called life. Thank you for joining us. This episode is called Mother and Me, and it features stories and poems that speak to the profoundly integral relationship we humans each have with Mother Nature. Whether you call that ineffable force by the name of the universe, the order of the cosmos, Pachamama, the Great Mother, or simply energy, this force is alive in every living thing. It is life itself. And we each have our own unique way of relating to the force that has given us and the world around us life. Personally, I have been utterly fascinated with not only nature itself, but my own relationship with her. That relationship has transformed throughout the years, sometimes moving from total awareness and reverence to ignorance and separation, like a pendulum. It's ever evolving, but I'm grateful now for those moments when I notice that being surrounded by vibrant biodiversity inspires a feeling of awe within my heart. In our first poem, we hear from Katie Ederman about the same feeling of awe as she shares her poem entitled, How Can I Sit Here? Katie shared this poem in one of our first word jams of the summer in the old hardware store. I remember the light coming in from the windows behind her while she shared, beaming around her and illuminating the dust we had just tried our hardest to clean out the previous week. I remember thinking about how there must be no way to fully eradicate the presence of earth in such an old building. The dusty ground and our wooden floors now seemingly inseparable. In that moment, I felt defeated by our futile attempts at cleaning. Now, I remember with fondness the smell of earth in that building. Let's take a listen to Katie's poem.
Well, I'm Katie, and it's my first summer here, and thank you. And I wrote this poem in a place very far from here. How can I sit here and not feel love for every crashing wave as they explode against deep maroon rocks into momentary statues of delight? Trails of tumbling aquamarine seafoam in their wake. How can I sit here and not feel love for her every breath, current rolling into magical little tide pools that I stood above just yesterday, now overflowing, outstretched arms cascading into one another? How can I sit here and not feel love for her depth of expression, revealing she is both the calm, serene retreat and unabashedly wild chaos, her duality so intuitive and natural? How can I sit here and not feel love for the story she tells that no two living things can ever be the same, nor repeated, how true beauty lies in uniqueness. So how can I sit here and not feel love for every crashing wave as it seizes its one chance to explode in delight without hesitation nor apology over and over again? So masterful in her practice, she reminds me that we share the same nature. Therefore, how can I sit here and not feel that same love for my very self? Thank you.
Katie is not only a guide and former acrobat, but she is an incredible poet and storyteller, and I'm so grateful to have gotten to know her over the summer. I love how Katie's poem speaks to how it's almost unfathomable to be in the presence of boundless beauty and not feel admiration or love or a deep and personal relationship with the fruits of our Mother Nature. Up next, we hear from Mike, who shared his poem called Mountain Promise during another summer word jam night.
Thanks. I appreciate you hanging in there. It's kind of one of my longer pieces. This one, I was just walking through a parking lot, and there was a bumper sticker that says, I think it said, "The mountains are calling." And so this is what I came up with. This is called Mountain Promise. A mountain whispered in my sleep. In my dream, I made a promise to the mountain, a promise I meant to keep. So when I awoke, I went to the mountains. All my life, a mountain voice has whispered in my ear. This mountain voice has always made things clear. East Coast mountains whispered. Moving west, the mountain voice became a shout. A young man learning to live life. In the west, mountains became what my life was about. I dreamt last night of a mountain, the symmetry of its ridges etched in my mind. It's a mountain I've never seen while awake. If I continue seeking, it's a mountain I may one day find. My father tells a story of myself in mountains when seeing the Rockies for the first time. The enthusiasm he witnessed years ago tells me mountains and I have always been in rhyme. There's a mountain I've never climbed. It rises from the Alaskan coast like a redwood rising from the forest floor. A part of me never wants to climb it, resisting a voice inside me, always wanting to get higher and wanting more. I consider having my ashes placed there, an ultimate sign of respect, to acknowledge places we may not get to in this lifetime. We may not be ready yet. There is a talk of men conquering mountains, yet a mountain just is. It's not fighting back. Man may conquer his greatest fears to reach a summit, but the mountain is just a mountain, incapable of leveling its own attack. I dreamt last night of a mountain. There I was in the rocks, hiding from the wind. In the dream, I felt I'd put forth my greatest effort. Recognizing my own limits, heading down was the only way for me to win. A mountain is there for us to learn from, if only we can be quiet enough to hear its voice. A mountain can teach us about ourselves, give us information from which we can make a better choice. In the deepest gorge in the widest valley, where the light struggles to reach, the mountain is always there waiting for our arrival, whispering knowledge with lessons of life to teach. Looking back at a mountain, which I just exhausted my body to climb, overcome by emotion, tears flowed from my eyes. When I consider why I was crying, it seems from pushing myself so hard and reaching my goal, responding to a deep calling from within, the experience touched the truest part of my soul. That this was possible, having the courage and stamina to see it through, this was something the mountain provided me an opportunity to do. I've dreamt about that mountain. It continues to be part of who I am. The dreams carry a theme of striving to be the best version of self in being a man. Mountains I've never met still whisper in my sleep, promising to provide opportunities if the promises to myself and the mountains I have the courage to keep. I promise to listen to the mountains, I promise to keep my heart open as I climb. I promise to remain open-minded while searching for all the mountains can help me find.
I believe that it's sentiments like the one found in Mike's poem that reminds us of why animism runs so deep in our human blood. I had the pleasure of spending several months in the Andes in Peru while I learned about the sacredness of the mountains there. Each mountain, or Apu, which in Quechua means Lord, had a different spirit embodying the mountain. I lived underneath Apu Patisserai, and I remember feeling his presence very strongly, watching over me. And if I let my consciousness sink into the memories of Patisserai's energy, I can still hear the low hum or buzz that radiated from the mountain, down his slopes and into the valleys where we slept. Next, we'll hear about that same animistic relationship as told by myself, during one of our summer word jams in the old hardware store. This poem is titled, "Heal Me, Mama," and is a plea to the ancient powers of Mother Earth for healing. Let's take a listen.
Hey everyone, thanks for being here. I'm Sabrina. I work at WMC. Yeah, I do. And I'm really happy and grateful that you guys are all here because this is one of the events that, before I took this job, sounded the most exciting. It makes me happy. It's inspired also by climate change. And it's kind of like through the lens of ecofeminism and the mother wound that I feel we all need to heal as human beings. Heal me, Mama, heal me. There is still a place within me that holds a deep and fallen down desire to be held by my mother. Tighten her chest where I cannot see the fumes of flames that rise above our earth's horizon beyond the nearsightedness of my mother's soft and supple breast. Heal me, Mama, heal me. Mother, I want your hands in my hair, your strong nails on my scalp. Mother, I want to remember what it's like to look up in your eyes and to see yours looking down at mine, brimming with the kind of compassion that our spirits will only exude through a body with a womb. Heal me, Mama, heal me. Take me back to that curled up place where my simple existence was the fuel for your slow burning and humble pride. And from there, show me what it means to derive that awesome joy through nourishing another life. Heal me, Mama, heal me. Teach me how to be so steady, grounded, stable, and giving. Teach me how to fearlessly stand through the sound of those wild men coming. Remind me of safety, a sense lost in the pounding waves of oppression from once my fellow. Remind me of a song, your song, that could shift my darting eyes to winding, that heavied their lids till they were shut, and to where my breath breathed naturally, unafraid or unaware of what's to come. Heal me, Mama, heal me. Mother, do you know what you do to my body when I'm near you, when I see your ancient smile, when I get to feel your heart beating with mine? Mother, is there a way to return to your earth belly, gentle and warm, where I heard your unbound and bouncing laugh echoing within my blood pumping, and I knew inherently I was home? Heal me, Mama, heal me. Mother, let me lay my head on your squishy belly to hear you breathe. Why is it that I can hear the waves, the wind, and the songbirds preaching every time your lungs expand, when all I hear are silent tears and all I see are eyes of grief every time my chest collapses? Mother, breathe in me that kind of melodic, dancing peace. Heal me, Mama, heal me. Mother, I wonder what it is that shines through your eyes, beyond the grief, beyond the darkness, beyond the doubt I know you can't help but consider. That light is what I beg to bathe in, for I can't seem to harness it myself. But mother, it is only with your fierce holding, so close I could never forget the smell of your skin, that I can hear that soft whisper, encouraging me to imagine a world I'm proud to live in. Heal me, mama, heal me. And so there's only you, only your essence in this whole baffling world who I can come crying back to, regressing to the roots of my most vulnerable self, a self that knows I will be held by that sweet and familiar aroma, by the soft skin and seeing eyes, by that delicate cosmic form of endless nurture and incurable love. Hold me, mama, hold me. Thanks.
It's interesting to listen back to myself sharing at our word jam. Even though I've been writing and sharing my poems for most of my life, I had never actually shared one of my poems into a mic in front of an audience. And it's incredible how terrifying that can be, and also empowering. In fact, there were a few people I remember that shared at our word jams who had never done that before. And maybe it's the feel of the old ancient building, brown and dusty and cozy, filled with locals, visitors, seasonal workers, and friendly faces, all huddled together, listening to one another with intent and care. But there's something about that environment that allows you to open up and to feel that what you're sharing is being received and cherished. And the way we experienced that unique feeling within the old hardware store, surrounded by wood older than anyone in that building, is how I believe we, as humans, inherently experience the nature around us as alive, with character, ripe and ready for our interactions and our engagement. Our next poet, Krista Beyer, touches on these subjects as she shares two poems that express her relationship with trees. Have a listen.
Hello, I'm Krista. I've written a series of poems about trees, because I'm a big fan of trees. So I was going to pick out a couple for you. And I think there's like an element to a lot of the poetry here that's like a connection to place via nature. And then also a connection to place, like sometimes it's interwoven with mining history, with dams, with like one of the reasons that we're here is because Kennecott Mine was here. Sometimes that's like similar themes and like other like river areas, things like that. So some of these have like a connection of place, but also the recognition that humans have impacted it. Yeah. So this one's kind of like a reflection. So I've lived in the desert for a long time now too. Gets longer every year I go back, it gets longer. The desert life. So this one's kind of like another tree poem, but it's about like desert trees, and like that landscape is sometimes every piece of life in the desert is like a miracle, I think. So it's like every green thing I'm like, oh my goodness, how are you here? So this is kind of a reflection on that, but it's called Sycamore Dreams. It's about the Salt River. As if in a dream, white shapes dance and swirl in the pale light water, roots, limbs, and sky become one. A crooked painted line rising into the dusky sky with neither beginning nor end. An unexpected mark on the landscape. Much as if Picasso lifted his brush to a Monet painting. Pulchritudinous all the same. Much like the word beauty in an unanticipated way. It's like that in dreamscapes. When the imagination runs wild, the rational is left confused, even surprised by the most common things. A sycamore doing what trees do, a miracle. And then I got one more, and I think that's just, I've never been able to play music, but I appreciate music. I love to dance to music. I love people who can play music. So I learned about a tree, like the Sitka spruce is often used, I think it's called tonewood, for a lot of musical instruments. And when I learned that, I was like, well, this is my new favorite tree because I love music. So this one's about the Sitka spruce. It's called the luthier. I fell in love while strolling by a tree that passed between two skies, strong grain, old wood that held within the beauty of a musical hymn. Beneath its bark was trapped a sound of storms and torment and witches bound, the rise and fall of tides and men, of will and dreams that break and bend, but also there a mother's song, an enduring heart and arms that long to protect the souls of those held dear from life's trials, of which there is one cure. And as I dreamed away in sand so loose, I knew this song exists only in Mother Spruce. Yay.
I loved how Krista saw every green plant in the desert as a miracle, and how she had a connection with the character of the spruce trees. What I'm also interested in is the connection we can have with Mother Nature that goes beyond the tangible world. The relationship we have with the way we see the order of the universe. Up next, we hear exactly that. Lewis came to the WMC as a volunteer for a few weeks and totally blessed us with his presence, upbeat and always wanting to help out. He shared this story about reciprocity with the universe at our first word jam of the summer. Take a listen.
So I'm just going to tell a story. The story has to do with the reciprocity of what you put out into the universe. I've always had trouble receiving help from people. Has anybody ever had trouble with that? I love to give help. I love to help. Does anybody love to help people? So my big issue was every time I needed help and really needed it, I would say no when somebody offered it to me. And I didn't realize that I was stealing the joy that I felt when I helped people from those people that I refused to help from. So to teach myself a lesson, in 2016, I decided to sell everything I had and go hitchhiking around the country so that I could force myself to be accepting of the help of others. So it started off just surrendering to that, surrendering to the universe and allowing the reciprocity to take place. I was going to put love and trust out there, and I expected it to come back. And I really did. And it did. It didn't let me down. So this part of the story takes place starting in the Grand Canyon. I spent about 5 days there in my hammock, having a wonderful time in February. And I hitched a ride from the Grand Canyon to Flagstaff with a woman named Cynthia that I met there. Really lovely lady. And my goal was to get to Santa Fe from the Grand Canyon in a matter of 4 days because I had to meet my band, which I'm in a band. They were coming up to play a couple shows in Colorado. And I had been traveling for 6 months, and I was supposed to somehow meet up with them, and they were going to pick me up. So I had set it up so that I knew somebody in Texas that knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody in Santa Fe that was going to house me that I never met. So all I knew was this person's name, and their name was Casey. And all I had was their name and a phone number. And so I had my phone on me, and going back to the Grand Canyon, I'm taken to Flagstaff, and I'm trying to get there in a matter of 3 days. Because usually I would take about 3 to 4 times as long as it would take you to drive somewhere. That's what I'd give myself to hitch somewhere. And it's usually pretty accurate. So I got to Flagstaff, and I ended up staying there for about 1.5 hours. Wasn't getting rides, but I kept getting all this money from people. And I wasn't asking for money. I just had a sign that said East. That's all I had. And I was sitting at a gas station talking to people. And it was like everybody I talked to wasn't going that way. But they were like, here, man, here's $20. Like, I love your story. Like, if you get stuck, like, get a hotel room. So I ended up making $140 in Flagstaff in that 1.5 hours, which I actually felt really bad because there was a guy across the highway that was panhandling. And he could, like, he kept side-eyeing me. And I kept, like, shrugging to him, like, look, man, I'm not asking for money. Like, people are just giving it to me. And so I had to regroup. I was like, all right, I'm not getting rides. I'm getting money, but I'm not getting rides. But I have to get to Santa Fe. So I decided to take a walk to this gas station and kind of, like, recollect myself. And I realized, oh, it dawned on me I wasn't wearing my lucky hitchhiking bandana. Of course, I wasn't going to get a ride. So I went back to the highway, and I found this sign that said, do not pick up hitchhikers. And I sat under that sign with my lucky bandana on. And within 10 minutes, these guys came and picked me up. And they had just been spending the weekend in Sedona camping out. And so they had all this camping gear and stuff, and they saw my gear. And they were like, yeah, we're going to pick this guy up. So they picked me up, and they ended up taking me all the way to Albuquerque. It's a 7-hour drive. And the whole way we're going, we're talking about plant medicine. Because I love plants. I love plant medicine. I believe in it. I really do believe that's an alternative to the allopathic way. And so we're talking about ailments that they have in their different families, family members, and I'm talking to them about what they can do, what they can potentially grow in those areas. And so we hit it off. It's just a really good connection. So we're getting into Albuquerque, and they know the lay of the land, and I've never been there before at this time. And they don't want to drop me off in, like, downtown Albuquerque because they said, hey, man, you got a really nice pack. Somebody might stab you for that. So they decided to take me to a nicer place where there was a park so I could get a good run in the morning to go up to Santa Fe. So it was right off of Highway 25. So when we stopped at this gas station right by this really nice park. And we had shared such a bond over this time that when I was leaving, they both gave me a really big hug. And the first guy was like, hey, man, I don't want you to just be in your hammock. Because at the time, all I had was a travel hammock that I would pitch. And he said, here, take my REI tent. And he gave me a $300 tent. And the other guy was like, well, I can't let you just, like, go without a gift from me. So here, take my micro air mattress. And he gave me, like, a $120 air mattress. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is awesome. And it was night at the time. The sun had just set. And so usually I don't hitch at night because would you guys pick up, like, a crazy-looking hitchhiker at night? I don't know. So I
pick up you, Lewis.
I appreciate that. But I felt really good because of this serendipitous experience I was having. And I was like, let's just keep it going. So I did what I never do, and I went up to 25. I walked to Highway 25, and I sat on the side of the road, and it was dark. And within 5 minutes, there was a car that slammed on his brakes, and he just backs up in the dirt. And I was also carrying my guitar at the time. I don't really play guitar. At this time, I sort of did, but it was cool to just, like, travel and carry it with me. I met a lot of musicians. So the guy comes around, pulls back, and he pops open the trunk, and he says, get in, man, we got to go. I got a show. And he saw my guitar, and he was a bass player. He had his bass kit in the back, and he was like, I can't leave another musician just hanging out on the side of the road. So this is all happening in one shot from Flagstaff, all the same day. And so I get in, and he's taking me to Santa Fe, and he goes, well, where are you going? And I go, Santa Fe. I don't really know where because I wasn't able to get in touch with this guy at this point, this Casey guy, this guy, the friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who I'm supposed to be meeting. And so I get to Santa Fe, and I help him load in into the venue. He's playing this little bar in this plaza, and they're really nice. So they ask me if I'm part of the band because they see I have a guitar and a pack and stuff, and I'm helping them load in. And I say, no, you know, this guy just helped me out. His name was Noah. He helped me out. I'm traveling. I'm trying to get to a place. I just want to get a bite to eat and see if I can charge my phone. And so they said, oh, great. So they built me a table up in the dance hall. I was the only person who got to eat in the dance hall. I felt kind of special. And they made it by a plug, and so I was able to plug my phone in, which ended up not working. My phone had been broken. I didn't know that. So I couldn't charge my phone, so I couldn't find the information to get a hold of this guy who was a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. So I was kind of in a place where I was like, well, I guess I just got to go out and trust my intuition. So I kind of nodded to Noah and said, thank you for the ride, and I walked outside. And as I was walking outside from this plaza, it started snowing. So I'm thinking, I've never been to Santa Fe. I'm at the street. So I look left and I look right, and I'm thinking, which way do I go to set up camp? So I get this hit, go this way. You know, you got to trust that voice inside of you. And I start walking down the road, and maybe 100 feet, I see a woman walking towards me. And she's looking at me, looking at me, looking at me, and then she goes into this sushi bar. But just as the door is closing, she kicks it open. And she sees me, and she kind of looks down, and she goes, oh, well, I see you have a guitar. Were you a part of that music that was going on down the way? And I said no, and then I tell her my story. I'm traveling. Do you happen to know of a good place that I could set up camp? And she goes, well, yeah, there's a couple good parks around town, but, like, what are you doing in town? What are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm supposed to be meeting my band here, and this is, like, 3 days before I'm supposed to be meeting my band because I got there so fast. Like, I was planning to get there at the end of the weekend. This is at, like, a Thursday or a Friday. And I go, well, I'm trying to find this guy named Casey, but I have no idea who he is or where he is. And so she looks at me and she goes, Casey Greenlee? And I go, well, yeah, that's his name. And I hadn't remembered the last name. I wasn't close to the guy or anything, but when she said it, it clicked. Like, that's the guy I'm supposed to be meeting. And she goes, oh, cool, he's a friend of mine. He houses, like, travelers in town. So I go, sweet, could you give me a ride there? She goes, yeah, I can give you a ride there. So I get in the car. She gets her food. We get in the car. We drive to Casey's house, and the whole time we're talking about plant medicine. And she's, like, totally into natural medicine, into plants. It's awesome. So we hit it off. Soul sister. I mean, she, to this day, she's one of my best friends. And so we get to Casey's house, and Casey's nowhere to be found. We call him, nothing. We can't get a hold of him. And so she goes, you know what, just crash with me. So this is like, she just met me on the side of the road, and she lets me stay at her house. And so for the next 3 days, I ended up staying with her, 3-4 days. And I would, like, clean for her, and I gave her acupressure treatments as, like, a thank you. And we stayed up all night watching plant medicine videos. And it was so much fun. And my band ended up coming to her house, and I introduced her to my whole band. And that last day I was there, we went to where Casey Greenlee worked. And it was this little coffee shop in Santa Fe. And he had been at his father's house in Taos because there was a snowstorm, and he had to go take care of some business helping his dad out. And so I would have been in the snow wondering what the hell's going on with this Casey Greenlee guy, because I wouldn't have been able to get a hold of him because he was in a place where he had no reception. But instead, the universe had it that I was supposed to meet this woman who was a lovely soul, and she housed me and fed me, and we shared a wonderful time, and my band came and picked me up. We went and played in Denver. She ended up moving to Texas 2 years later, spending time with me, and then moved to Boston. But the whole point of the story was that reciprocity with the universe, the putting out the love, putting out the surrender to just trust that that was going to take care of me. And so because I didn't attach to how that was going to happen, it happened so fluidly and so perfectly that it's still to this day one of those things that I look back on and I can't believe. And it was just a miraculous time. So if you have that feeling where you want to put your trust into something, just don't attach to how it's going to come back, and I guarantee it will. It's a beautiful thing. So thanks.
I do believe that within our mysterious world, where Mother Nature is that indefinable essence, interweaving every and all things, known and unknown, we can find magic and miracles and wonder in every moment. Whether we are hitching a ride under a no hitchhiking sign, or connecting with a desert tree, or taking in the enormity of an Alaskan mountain, or figuring out how to love ourselves as much as we love the natural world. The magic is there in the relationship between Mother Nature and you. Thank Thank you for listening to our first episode of the season, Mother and Me. This podcast series was written and produced by Sabrina Simon with the help of John Erdman. Special thanks to our featured storytellers, our 2023 Storytelling Festival business supporters, and sponsors, including McCarthy River Tours and the Roadside Potato. And special thanks to Cole Pompey for contributing his original music.
You can go to www.wrangles.org, that's Wrangles with two L's, to listen to more episodes from our End of the Road podcast, or find us wherever you find your podcasts. At our website, you can also help support us financially. You can sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, and you can check out the programs that we operate here in McCarthy during the summer. Thank you for joining us at the end of the road.